welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's narrow loss to Montrose, preview this weekend's game at Alloa, and we'll be looking at how the other results elsewhere affected our league position. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. Almost full of the joys of spring. Weather-wise, I should say.
Enjoy.
It was bitterly cold at the weekend, but it seems to have kind of changed for the better. Still slightly cold, but
it's no time to get the shorts out just yet for the summer.
Yeah, they're getting dusted off. Let's put it that way. Sure, they might be making an appearance before the end of the season. Or fingers crossed. Right, so let's crack on with this week's. I don't know what you caught this week. Kind of look back on where we can find the positives. It's almost like a, to quote you last week, cut and paste of what we had last week. It is another loss that we're looking at, another narrow one, this time to Montrose. It's three times we've lost to Montrose now this season. One draw, no goals scored against them. What do you make of it overall as a contest?
As a contest, I thought we played poor, to be honest. Again, it's a narrow defeat, it's 1-0, but I don't think we really troubled them, to be honest. I think that's the disappointing thing. We look pretty lacklustre up front. You can try and find positives as you do with every game, but at the moment we seem to be, you know, really stuck in a rut of maybe being able to pick up wins, and I think it's now really starting to show. I think there is a lack of confidence in the team. I think that was probably more evident on Saturday than I have seen for a while. A lot of square passes or passes going backwards. I thought there was a real lack of, you know, conviction in midfield as well, which normally really good in midfield. I think that's normally one of our stronger areas. But no, overall, I think Montrose didn't really have to work too hard for their victory, if I'm being honest.
It wasn't a great viewing, and again, I think the conditions probably played a factor. But you know, we've seen games up here this season where the wind has played a factor. But for some reason, this game, neither side really got to grips with the wind.
Yeah, like you said, there has been a few games up here lately. The wind's played a you know, quite a big part of it. I think the wind did have a factor on Saturday, but given that Peterhead are the home team, we're used to this sort of wind. I didn't think it was anything. You know, on pitch level, it was maybe worse, but in the stand, I didn't think it was particularly bad. Even when we were walking around, I didn't think it was that bad. I expected Peterhead to deal with it better than what we did. And again, it's these little things that you try and use things for your home advantage. I think wind, as we've spoken before, sometimes we were able to deal with it better, and we didn't on Saturday.
There were two changes from the previous game. Nia Payne was back in after his head knock. Flynn Duffy also returned as well. Jack Brown and Owen Cairns dropped out. Owen Cairns was out altogether through an injury, I think it was. So it was a familiar front three, if you like, Payne, Ritchie and McLean.
Yeah, it was good to see Nia come back in. I think Watt's performances have been great from the team lately. I think he has been the one player, or one of the players, that he's stuck at it. I think his best performance was last month, you know, against Dundee. I think he has shown at times this year, the calendar year, that there is a player there. He just needs to maintain that, you know, and try and get in amongst the goals of assists.
I think we miss his endeavour, his you know, his closing down. And we've mentioned a few times this season that, okay, it's not going to get you 20 goals a season, but by Christ, his work rate is probably up there with one of the best. And I think, you know, if we go to the previous game against Cove, I think that was maybe the one thing we were missing, just his, you know, endless running, if you like, just closing down defenders. And I think that was particularly obvious in the hour or so that he got on Saturday.
Yeah, he's a nuisance player, and I mean that in the best possible way, because he doesn't give defenders a break. He's always on the move, always willing to not so much take them on, but you know, he'll face them up and try and make them make a decision. I don't think you get that with Russell. They're both different type of players, but I do think we are noticing that when Nia's not playing, I think we are lacking something up front. Again, you've got Ryan Duncan, you've got Hamish and Russell. I just think that there is a combination there that Jim needs to find, and you know, going by the results and fixtures, we'll need to find it pretty sharpish.
And it was Rico Katongo's turn to play at right back, it would seem. Yeah. Flynn went back to his normal natural left back position. Katongo, as I say, was at right back, and I think by the standards that's been there, I think he's done all right. I didn't think he did anything particularly too wrong, but he seemed to be more comfortable in that position than what maybe Flynn had been.
Yeah, as you said, you know, Rico, it was his turn to come out with Tombola to play at right back. It's square pegs and round holes, and you know, it's a situation that really should have been addressed in January, to be honest. Conceding goals as I was being one of our flaws, and that should really have been addressed by the guys in January. But nonetheless, we've tried a few players at right back, nothing really seems to be working. Rico played there on Saturday, didn't do anything too wrong, but again, nothing spectacular. He did his best.
I think really he had maybe too much to do. Blair Lyons probably had more of his quieter kind of games, and I think maybe that helped him just kind of settle into that role.
Yeah, I don't think the, you know, Lyons did that much. As you said, Rico sort of grew into the roles as the game went on, which I think was a good thing for Rico. Obviously, he's not a natural right back, but we've tried a few players at right back, and I think teams now pinpoint that as Peterhead's weak area. They're pretty quick to identify and go for it. But no, overall, I thought Rico did okay.
I think it's pretty obvious since Mulligan has gone back to Dundee, that is our weakest area. He was probably one of our, if not our best player up until then. So yeah, you're probably right. Anybody is looking at it and going, well, there's not a right natural right back. Not that Josh was a natural one, but he slotted in there quite naturally and looked as though he'd been there for a long time. But yeah, they'll probably be looking at it and going, right, if we can get our strongest players on that left hand side there, Peter's right, it's going to cause us a lot of problems.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, we do have a right back available. Just for whatever reason, it's not getting in the squad. But I certainly think when you've got a glaring problem as we do at right back, you know, there is somebody who could play at right back that I think would be beneficial to us.
It could have all been so different early on, 5 minutes in, and Hamish Ritchie's free kick was kind of mind if Savory actually gets anything on the header, or doesn't get it, or just completely misjudges it. But terrific free kick early on by Ritchie, and Savory, as I said, I'm not sure if he hits it or not, but it, the ball ends up going just wide of the far post.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he got a touch on it. It was a good free kick, to be fair, good ball in, but if he just gets a connection on it, you know, you think you might get something, and it would have been a really good start.
And we've been sort of begrown about the set pieces, corners and things like that, and we do get a decent free kick into that kind of area. It's actually the wrong man. It's fine to yeah. You know, you probably would have been screaming for that to be Rusty's head on it, or even one of the defenders was up. But again, just probably the smartest man in the team. it's gone to and you know, just, you know, even if maybe if he just it comes off his shooter or something like that and goes in, that might just be the luck, the turning point that we're in.
Yeah, aye, as you said, you're needing that break. It's just now falling for us. As you said, if it maybe gone to a centre back or Rusty, might have got us on target and, you know, make the keeper work, or if not, you get the goal from it. But yeah, it was not to be.
And the game was that poor that in my notes we're jumping to the 20th minute because of absolutely nothing for the next 15 minutes. It was that poor. And as I said earlier on, I think just both teams really struggled to adapt to the wind.
Yeah, which is strange because I said I didn't think it was particularly bad. I think we've played in worse conditions up here and we've dealt with it fine. But for whatever reason, Saturday we just seemed to struggle. I don't know whether it's a wee bit of nerves as well. Like I said, confidence is at its highest at the moment with the way results have gone. And I just wonder whether the players were maybe thinking, or the management team were thinking, you know, a point wouldn't be the worst result. And it would not have been. But when you didn't play, you know, try and use a win to your advantage of being the home side, I think you're always leaving yourself suspect to conceding.
I think as well, both both sides set up similar fashion, so they almost kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah.
That 4-3-3 wide 4-3-3 4-5-1. So it, you know, they were almost man for man in each position, and it was just a case of who could outdo their opposite number, if you like. And it was just screaming out for somebody in that midfield area to take the bull by the horns and, you know, try and make something happen rather than waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I think we're back to playing that one pass too many on Saturday. Again, you want to try and keep the ball, and if you're against the wind, you try and hold it better. But at times, as you said, you're looking for somebody to take control of the midfield and drive on. And, you know, in recent games, I don't think that's been too much of a problem. I think the midfield has been pretty solid. But on Saturday, I just think as you said, with in your notes, you've jumped very early on to the 20 minute. I think that just shows midfield and a complete control of the game as well, considering we're just matching up like for like.
Yeah, you could probably, if you were sitting here as a Montrose supporter, you'd probably be saying the exact same thing, because it was that similar of a game where, you know, players you'd expect to kind of shine, didn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that was a lot was due to the conditions. But Rusty went down in the box 20 minutes in, was booked for a dive or simulation, I should say. We, at the time, I think we both kind of agreed it probably was the right decision for the referee.
Yeah, I've not seen it back. I'm just going on my initial thoughts. I think, yeah, the referee's probably right. And I think, you know, his teammates were in about him as well. Neither of them really complained either. So I think it's poor. I would call it out if it was another team. I think it's poor that you're trying to con a referee. The linesman was on, you know, that side of Rusty as well. He never seen anything. So, yeah, if it is proven to be, like I said, I haven't seen it back again, but if it was simulation, then he's rightly gotten booked for it.
It's one of those where he's, I think remember you said as well during the game, that he's maybe anticipating a touch, but that it doesn't really excuse the fact that he's going down in that kind of position, whereas, you know, if you get a touch, then go down, but then anticipate a touch, because as a striker, you would think, right, anticipate, get this back, and maybe take a shot. I know it was a bit, he was going away from the goal slightly, but I think the telling thing as well, and I think you said it as well, that there was nobody else really claimed for it,
no.
Which is probably the the biggest kind of red flag, is to say, well, probably wasn't it, and the fact that he took so long to get back up as well, just, I don't know what he was trying to do, almost maybe sheer embarrassment, maybe, I don't know what it was, but I think we probably both agree, yes, probably was the right thing by the referee.
Yeah, as you said, he took quite a minute or two just to get back up, and I think rightly so, you know, maybe embarrassed with what he did. I came, as you said, he's maybe anticipating the contact, but if that contact doesn't come, it makes you look a wee bit foolish, and I think that's what happened for him on Saturday. And I think it's a stupid booking as well, because it puts you under so much pressure for the rest of the game. One mistimed tackle, one lean of the arm as well, I think you're asking for trouble. So I think the referee on that occasion got it right, and, you know, rightly will call it out for what it is, it's simulation.
And as you said early on as well, 20 minutes in, and as it turned out, the referee was quite carb happy as well, so yeah, he definitely was putting himself at risk. But one thing that we have mentioned quite a few times again is the simplicity of the goals that we've been conceding. You know, it's just a lump up the park, or it's a through ball through the sort of the defence in Johnston for Montrose. Probably should have had the opening goal just on the half hour mark. Same thing again, it was just a ball over the top, he's running through, and he's just been pulled his shot wide, and as I said, that probably should have been the opening goal.
Yeah, as I've said numerous times, it's too simplistic, too easy for them, and at that point in the game they probably should have gone 1-0 up. I'd imagine disappointed at the Hinna, but from a point of view, it's too simple again. It's quite basic, and it seems to be a recurring theme that we're mentioning. It's the same things over and over again. It's the same mistakes that we're making, or the same things that's coming out for the club. Is just you know, you try and sort your mistakes out, it just seems at the moment we're not actually dealing with the mistakes that have happened in previous games and sorting them out for the next game.
And that was it for the first half, which was as entertaining as it was. There was a relief that he didn't play any injury time in the first half. It was over pretty quick. Second half, though, did start off quite bright, though. I felt that we were the better side. Scott Brown had an effort from long range. And as I said last week, his goals have maybe dried up a little bit. I think he hasn't scored since the Clyde draw from range. But again, he's willing to take an effort on from range, and that's what we've been saying. To use your phrase, if you'd run by a lottery ticket, you
would still win bingo.
So at least, you know, there are signs that he is still willing to take those efforts on. And it was again, it was the first of probably two or three good saves from Lennox in the second half.
Yeah, it's taken us to the second half to really, you know, mount anything on the Montrose back line. Scott's eye was good to hear an effort. He'll never shy away from it. But again, you can even see, as you said, his goals have dried up. His confidence has maybe just taken a little bit of a dip as well. And momentum and confidence in football is probably as major a factor as your actual ability as well. When you're winning games and playing well, you'll ride that wave, and it's the same thing. Things aren't going for you. Everything, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, Grant Savory, the smallest man in the park for the Ritchie free kick. It's then little things that just don't go your way, and as you've said numerous times before, you're needing it to go off somebody's backside and just go in the back of the net and gaze that left. Your eye was hopeful it can happen, and as you know, Scott will continue to take shots, and hopefully one of them will ping in the top corner.
And Grant Savory, a guy that we've seen grow in confidence recently in the last month or two, almost cementing himself in that midfield role, had a wonderful individual run, which started on the edge of our own box. We were defending a corner, and he's gone all the way up to the other 18-yard box, and he's just as he's away to hit the pull the trigger, you know, a defender comes out anyway and clears the ball. But it was a fantastic piece of solo run for him.
I think that's one of his biggest strengths of Grant, is he is willing to pick up the ball and just run. We saw that within his first couple of weeks being here. He was good at carrying the ball and getting you up the park 10-15 yards. And as you said, defender running corner, and he's willing to run. Just unfortunate defenders got him back there. I'm not sure whether he ran out of steam just as he got to the edge of the box. But, you know, terrific run. And that, we go back, you know, Scott's saying an effort, and Grant, there's willingness there. You just need that break to come for you as well.
And on the opposite side of things, we talk about us getting breaks. Obviously, we didn't get the break for the goal, the turning point in the game. I think everybody sort of bemused in the stadium as to how this one went in and what caused it, but. It's going down as a guard line goal. I guess it has to go down as a guard line goal because it came for the throw in from Steves, and if obviously it goes straight in, then it shouldn't have been a goal. But I don't think we really have any sort of views as to get that in terms of like a replay or anything like that. But it just kind of sums up how things have been going. Just the sheer confusion mixed up, basic errors in the defence that's been creeping in for the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a strange goal to concede. As you said, I don't think there was too much in it. It was just a breakdown in communication. I certainly think you're missing Jason Brown on that back line. I'm not saying that he'd have been able to prevent it, but I think his communication skills has come on leaps and bounds, especially this season. And I think that was one of the things that we're missing Saturday, just that somebody to bring it all together in the back line. I think the back line played particularly bad, to be honest, but short were still on the foot with that goal.
I mean, Brett, he came out after the game and he said it was his fault. He got lost in the sun, which, okay, can happen, but so he's been playing here for almost a full season now. You know, his sun is going to be affecting him. You don't see goalkeepers wearing caps these days. I don't know why. When you just put a cap on, just cover it up and try and help yourself as much as possible, but between himself and Andy McDonald, they haven't dealt with it, and that's a case of, for me, as I've said before, a lifetime member of the Goalkeepers Union and the rest of it. But I think on this occasion think Andy needs to just take control of it, take control of the situation, get rid of the ball. I know Brett's probably claimed for it, shouted for it, and he's left it for him, but just clear it.
Yeah, so I mean, the two things that I'm taking from that is, it's not the first time that we've said that Andy needs to deal with a situation. I think, you know, the last game as well, there was a short back pass, the Dundee game as well, the Niall McGinn situation. So yeah, you probably should deal with it in a single. Brett, get yourself a cap. You know, as you said,
he's an international cap.
Yeah, I'd be delighted if we keep us getting an international cap. It means he's playing well, but you know, you've played here long enough. You know, weather and low suns and everything is part and parcel. You know, a goalkeeper will experience that. But you know, that's the little things. It's Andy and dealing with the situation, communication, and Brett. And they said, I can't, would have sorted it, like, but you know, give yourself the best possible chance of reading the whole situation, reading the game. It's those little things and then key moments. Because I don't think Montrose did overly that much in the game to warrant the win. Because I don't think we were particularly bad, we just didn't create enough. That could be, you know, that could have been the difference between 1 point and obviously the 0 points that we got. And the situation we're in, every point's a prisoner.
Yeah. So that was around about what, the 68th, 69th minute. And then the referee decides to kind of help us out a little bit. Two red cards within the space of 3 minutes. Kami Ballantyne, not Kami F. Ballantyne, was the first one to go. Two yellows. I don't think you can have any complaints over the two. Certainly the first one was a robust challenge on McCarthy first half. And then the second one was another kind of, I think it was on Savory the second time round. So no real complaints from him. Surprised that his manager maybe didn't look at it, I think, oh well, he's been risking it for a wee while, maybe take him off, or even just have the kind of professionalism not to be lunging in and with tackles like that.
Yeah, as you said, I think he can only complain to only the two bookings, to be fair. As you said, it's a robust challenge for the first team. It's one of them, it's not quite a red card, but you think it could be more than a yellow. So yeah, for him to go and commit a challenge in the second half like he did, yeah, no complaints. All the referee got him right.
And then Gardine, 3 minutes later, was sent off again for two yellows. So they were down to nine, much like the Dumbarton game. And again, probably no real complaints, although he did complain after both. But again, I don't think we could really complain about either.
No, straightforward yellow cards. I think any referee, well, I say any referee would give them. You'd like to think that any referee would give a yellow card for the challenges that were made. So, yeah, again, from my point of view, no complaints with the red cards.
And we talk about Savory having a great header or a chance for a header, you know, opening minutes of the game. He had a header right at the end of the game as well. Brilliant save from Lennox in injury time. Just exactly what you're looking for your goalkeeper. I know had very little to do throughout the game, but when he's been called upon, he's pulled off a match-winning save.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, it's a match-winning save because he had, you know, very little to do in the game. But when he's called upon, you know, and that's the difference between, you know, keepers in the league. Some of them that wouldn't be called upon much during the game, but are there right at the death if, you know, that they're needed. And yeah, no complaints. You know, he saved his team getting 3 points.
And Grant done everything absolutely right. You know, got in the header. He was free inside the 18-yard box, which was the first kind of surprising thing. But, you know, he's got his header on target. He's done everything right. And other than having Aaron Lennox and goals, he probably would have scored.
Yeah, as you say, he's done everything right. Kind of fault him. He did everything you'd expect him to do. He's just come up against one of the better keepers in the league.
And virtually the last kick of the game, Scott Brown had a chance as well inside the 18-yard box, and it just absolutely snatched at it, and it's going high and wide. 93rd minute, and as I said, that was virtually the last kick of the game. So again, there was chances there to get that point, and I probably would have been happy to take a point. I think we said last week when we were previewing it, a point probably would have been a decent result, depending on what the other results elsewhere were. But I don't know, as I said, I think he just kind of snatched at this, and maybe even he's starting to kind of suffer maybe a little bit from confidence or lack of confidence.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what did he say, was it Clyde in December, his last goal as well, and it's not like Scott to go that length of period without scoring as well. So he maybe is just starting to feel not the pressure, but just the overall confidence within the team. As you said, he snatched it. The only thing I would say, if there was a player that you'd want right at the end to be taking a shot like that, probably would be Scott, to be fair. You would fancy your chances with him over it. I don't think we didn't do enough to win the game, but I certainly don't think that Montrose did enough to win it either. A point would have probably been a fair result, but I think that just shows the way things are going for us at the moment. I'm not going to sit here and say that we should have a lot more points than what we have, and we're being unlucky. But I certainly think in this game, we count ourselves a wee bit harsh to lose it, I think.
It's another game where Brett's picking the ball with the back of the net and he's had no saves at all in the game. And that's a few times that's happened. And, you kind of have to say, well, you know, if he's having very little to do during these games, but yet we're still losing them, there's obviously something missing somewhere.
Yeah, that's something that the management team need to look at, because I don't think Brett's been called in to make many saves in games. Obviously take away Gove and Queen's Park. I don't think he's been called into action a lot, but we do seem to be conceding goals. Maybe not a great deal of goals in a game, but at the same time we're struggling to score, so it's a bad combination.
There was some good performances again. Andy McCarthy just brilliant again in that midfield. Just covers every blade of grass. Grant Savory again, as we mentioned as well. Kutongo, I thought, played well as well at right back. So, as we said, there are a number of good performances on Saturday. But again, maybe just not getting what we maybe deserved, as you said. Probably didn't deserve to win it, but certainly didn't deserve to lose it.
Yeah, I think the fact that we're or what we perceive to be is we're three better players as two midfielders and a makeshift right back, a left back, a right back, I should say.
Yeah.
You're needing your more attacking, creative players to be the focal point of your team and try and make something happen. And I feel like a broken record the last couple of weeks. Things aren't happening for us, and there's only so many times you can bemoan your luck and say we're just not getting the break. Sometimes you've got to make your own luck in the game. And I said last week, I think maybe a formation change. I'm still thinking a formation change, because whilst we didn't do enough wrong on Saturday, we obviously didn't do much right either. It was a wee bit of a stalemate for large periods of the game. So again, maybe I change something just to freshen it up somewhere along the lines.
You mentioned changes. I'm going to ask you, or I was going to say the substitutions, or maybe the lack of substitutions. And the reason I mention it is because we're 1-0 down, we're playing against nine men, and yet we've still got Jack Brown and Jordan Brown sitting on the bench. Neither of them came on. We only made two changes. You're allowed to make five.
Yeah.
Duncan came on for Naya after 65. I don't think Naya really did anything too wrong. I think he was the worst player. Maybe that's something to do with the fact that he's coming back for a head knock.
Yeah.
And that's maybe what that is. And Ryan's obviously coming back from his spell out as well. But then the next substitution was in the 85th minute when Gary Fraser came on for Flynn Duffy. Now that time, we were playing against nine men. So, and I think I said to you, I said, well, if Gary Fraser's coming on, we'll go to a back three.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
No.
Kutongo went to left back and Scott Brown went to right back. So we maintained that back four up against nine men.
Yeah.
Now I know that the Dumbarton were probably Dumbarton. Montrose were playing, they weren't playing two banks of four, they played sort of 4-3-1. the big guy, Simpson up front. But surely we could have just left the two centre-backs in McCarthy just sitting in front of them, or even sitting alongside them, because he did that a few times during the game, and just try and get as much players forward as possible, just and then try and hem them in, force them to go for two banks of four. And I'm just surprised that you've got somebody like Jack Brown, who signed on a long-term deal, so obviously they think a lot of him, and Jordan sitting on there, somebody who can score goals as well when he's given the opportunities, but we just didn't bring him on.
Yeah, surprised to be honest, because as you said, we kept that shape with the back four at the back, which I think was, back four, it was pointless, to be honest. They've got one up top, as you said. We could have gone to a back two and just left McCarthy, or even make it a back three if you want to be a little bit more conservative, but still get somebody forward. Ken Garry's just coming back from injury, so you know, it was good to see him back at Ballymore and getting a couple of minutes under his belt. But as you said, we only made 2 of 5 substitutions. Could have made more. To me, as soon as that second red card, to me, I'm getting both Jack and Jordan, both of them on. You know, these guys are meant to be attacking, creative-minded, and why they weren't on, I don't know. A little bit surprised with some of the substitutions in recent weeks as well, not just with this game. It's slightly bemusing.
And they were warming up as well, so it wasn't as though they were just sitting on the bench, but he had them warming up. So I was just surprised that, you know, as you said, we're up against 9 men, we're 1-0 down. Surely you want to try and do something that will try and change things into our favour. I know it's easy for us to kind of just say, I think Gary is coming back and Gary will probably be a good player, but I didn't see how that changed, especially putting Scott Brown to right back would have affected the game in our favour.
But again, it's that right back issue that we're putting somebody there. I was, to me, down to nine men, that was a perfect opportunity to say, right, forgo having a right back and just go to, you know, as I said, a more conservative back three if you're wanting. But to me, 2 centre backs and a holding midfielder would have been fine.
So it was a 1-0 loss. Elsewhere, East Fife beat Dumbarton. So, you know, when we were looking at it last week, we were thinking, well, what would be the ideal result for that if we failed to pick up anything? I think maybe this was probably the lesser of the two evils in terms of the result, whereas I think if Dumbarton had beaten East Fife, okay, that it means that East Fife are still got that gap, but then we would have slipped into ninth.
Disappointing. I'm disappointed with our aim performances in recent weeks, and again, that, you know, you've got to look at other teams, and you know, you've mentioned before that there was a 12 point gap to East Fife before, and that's now, you know, down to 5. They're just chipping away, and yeah, I've got to admit, I'm starting to look over my shoulder, and I've got to admit, it's not even worried about ninth. It's the real possibility now that, you know, you could finish bottom of the table. And you know, speaking to guys at work about it, you know, start of January, a lot of them were saying there's too much quality in the Peterhead squad. Now, I agree there is quality, but we're not seeing it nearly as often enough as we should be. And Dumbarton and these 5 just seem to be picking up points, and you know, I think we're under real pressure.
Well, you look at the last 6, we've got 4 losses, 1 win and 1 draw, so it's 4 points out of 18. Dumbarton have got 5 losses, 1 win, 3 points out of 18. Whereas crucially, I think if you look at East Fife, they've got 3 draws, 2 wins and 1 loss, so they've picked up 9 points.
Yeah.
So they've gained 5 points on us in the last 6 games. And you just think that the change of manager maybe didn't see or reap any rewards straight away, but you just think now that they're starting to pick up the points at the right time. And as you said, suddenly we're thinking, well, East Fife have been cut adrift. They're slowly getting back into it again.
Yeah, I think maybe 5-6 weeks ago we looked at it and we thought, no, there was a 10-point gap, and we'd almost just about written East Fife off. And they've come right back in, like, as you said, you're pointing out their form there. I felt them change of manager. I thought they would have got that instant bounce, which didn't quite happen. I think that's why when we were cut adrift, I'd sort of written them off. But, you know, credit to them, they've come back. Like I said, I am concerned, not even just about ninth now. There's a distinct possibility that we could finish 10th. I think there's still a lot of games to go, but, you know, we've only beaten Dumbarton twice since, I think it was middle of October. That's how far back we go. We started the season off pretty well, and then since then it's just been, you know, a horrendous run. You know, it's okay picking up points here and there, but, you know, you've got to start picking up wins, and performances at the moment didn't suggest a win during the corner.
The next couple of weeks is going to be crucial. Well, the rest of the season is going to be crucial, but look at the fixtures. We're away to Alloa and then home to Falkirk. Dumbarton, they've got back-to-back home games against Falkirk and Montrose, and East Fife are away to Clyde and then home to Alloa. So, you know, we could be sitting here in a couple of weeks' time, and that gap, having been 12 at one point, now at 5, could be down to 1, it could be down to 3. Dare I say it, they could even be above us, you know, as well. So while we are concentrating quite a bit on, you know, how, you know, Peter Head are performing, how well we're doing. Unfortunately, we're at a stage where we have to concern ourselves with what's happening elsewhere.
Yeah, I think we're right to do that. I think you've got to keep an eye on, you know, results that's run about you, it's happening. Because as we said, the gap's been cut so much now that there is that distinct possibility it could happen. And as I said, I don't think performances, especially in 2022, have suggested that there is a win in the corner. I would love that to be wrong. I'd love that to be a win in the corner. And, you know, I think I say kickstart our season because it's nearly finished. But, you know, confidence, as we said before, it's a major thing in football. And as we've seen with East Fife, they're picking up wins. So, was it Clyde that you said that they're away to?
Mm-hmm.
Away to Clyde?
They're away to Clyde and home to Alloa, isn't it?
You see, and the confidence that they've got, that's, I wouldn't be surprised if they pick up 4 points for that.
Yeah.
And then, as we said, the gap all of a sudden is completely gone. So, yeah, whilst we've got, you know, tricky games coming up, you're looking for other teams running about us to do us a favour.
So this Saturday then we have got Alloa away from home, a team that we enjoyed relatively good success at the start of the season, coinciding with the fact that Josh Mulligan was here, and then now all of a sudden he's not here. We then lost narrowly up here 1-0, and that was probably, again, it was a game where, you know, defensively we did probably very little. There was very little for us to do, I should say, but they've got that vital goal and they've held on, and we didn't really look like scoring. I think that was during the period where we're going with 5 or 6 we could score in.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't as high, maybe as much as that, but it just felt like it. But again, they've changed the manager. They've got Brian Rice in new. They're picking up the little points here and there, just at the right time.
Yeah, really good appointment that, I think, to get Brian Rice in. I think he's a decent coach, to be fair. I think Alloa have got a bit of a sculpt there. So, yeah, I think, as we've said numerous times, Saturday will be a tricky game. But I'd put it in the category of it's one that we can't afford to lose. I don't think a point away, given the form that we're on, would be a bad result. I came maybe at the start of the calendar year, you'd look at it and go, you know, try and get 3 points there. But the way we're going, I think if we pick up a point, it wouldn't be the worst result, to be honest.
You look at the way the league is again, there was no much difference, obviously, because East Fife beat the Martin, we lost, Alloa drew. So Clyde sitting in 33, Alloa in 30, we're in 28, Dumbarton 26, East Fife in 23. All very, very tight, very close. You know, things could change, you know. In a positive spin, if we beat Alloa, we go above them, and then maybe that gap increases again. But then if we fail to get anything, maybe Dumbarton will go above us, the gap will close again. So really important that, as you say, we didn't lose the game. Obviously we're going to try and win it, but again, maybe a point maybe wouldn't be that bad of a result.
Yeah, I think psychologically this could be a massive weekend, because if you win the game, you could potentially go 5 points clear of the team in 9th, Dumbarton. Lose the game and Dumbarton win, you're then 1 point behind them, mm-hmm. and you're in 9th.
Yeah.
So that swing of, you know, being a point behind them or 5 clear, I think could be massive. And that's why if there is ever a time to get a win, I think Saturday would be it. As I said, just based on that psychological factor, because then you would think that you're maybe one win away from being safe, having still to play East Fife and Dumbarton. So, yeah, I think Saturday is a big game in the psychological terms.
As you mentioned, Brian Rice, he's come in. He hasn't had a win yet, but he's got 2 draws and 1 loss. His 2 draws actually came against Cove and Queen's Park, so it's decent points to get. If you remember as well, we were 2-0 up against Cove at one point, and Queen's Park needed a really late equaliser as well. So there is that potential that there is a win on the horizon for them. Obviously we don't want it to be on Saturday, but again, it just shows you that, you know, much like what we said earlier about East Fife, just a change of manager at the right time, it can just change the fortunes for them. Dumbarton have stuck with their manager, you know, he's been there less than a year, and they're maybe thinking that maybe we should have changed theirs, but as I said, Brian Rice, I think you said as well, is a very good appointment for them, and has certainly got them going in the right direction.
Yeah, I think, you know, Alawa probably had aspirations of being near the top end of the table. I kind of got relegated, but I think Brian Rice coming in, I think that's certainly a good appointment for next season. I don't think they'll have too much to be worried about, given the point gaps down to Dumbarton. I think they'll be fine. Performances, they've improved. You know, you see clips of them, their highlights, I think they have improved in recent weeks since Brian came in. Hopefully that doesn't continue on Saturday and we can get something. Which I think some clubs have changed their manager and it's worked out for them, which is why I think we should change formation. I think a change of manager at this moment in time would make that big a difference, if I'm being honest. It'll still be the same players, but you know, certainly a change of formation or something just to try and freshen things up. Because as I said, your last win was okay with Dumbarton a couple of weeks ago, but before that was December, so it's not like we're firing on all cylinders.
And this is an opportunity for Alawa to pull away from that sort of bottom three as well. You know, their next run of fixtures, funnily enough, they've got Peterhead, then they've got East Fife, then they've got Dumbarton. So they play the three teams. they play the three teams below them. So it's certainly a great chance for them to pick up, or you know, they'll be looking at it and thinking, well, if we can get 9 points out of that, we'll certainly be very clear of that. Put them in 39, with still four games to go. So you know, I think it'll be the emphasis will be on them to try and win it. But without sort of repeating ourselves, if we can go there and get a draw, I think we'd probably be happy with that.
Yeah, I would take a draw at this moment in time, depending on what, you know, depending on how the fixtures go on Saturday as well. A point might not be good enough, but you're not getting that until after the game, which that's the stage of the season we're at. You're sort of looking over your shoulder at other teams. And fit the gap that we did have before, you know, we've seen them just slowly nip away at us. And I've got to admit, I am concerned about our form and where we could end up in the league.
There might be an outside chance that I get Jason Brown being back. Hasn't been back to training yet. Hopefully, if he's back training this week, this game might be just a little bit too soon for him to come back. But I guess that Ryan Duncan, he got 25-30 minutes on Saturday, so I think he'd probably be a shoe-in to start. Mm-hmm. Which would mean that you're either going to drop Hamish or Naya, and it, those two, I would think it probably would be Naya would be the one it drops out, rightly or wrongly. Either that, or you drop Hamish into midfield, which I don't think is going to be happening, especially with that McCarthy, Savory, Scott Brown combination that he's got in there just now.
Yeah, I think probably will be Naya drops out. Ryan will come back in and go with Russell top, and then you've got the three in midfield. Whether it's right or not, I don't know. I just think it's performances that aren't there at the moment that suggest a win's in the corner. I don't think there's nothing really inspires me to think that there is going to be a win. I think it's a wee bit too safe, if I'm being honest, with the tactics and the personnel that's playing. But you know, hopefully I'm proved wrong on Saturday.
And you mentioned we changing our tactics. Probably a way for him, Alawa, maybe isn't the time to do it. However, when you look at it, you think, well, he's stuck with this 4-3-3 for a long time now. So when does he change it? You know, you've got Gary Fraser's obviously back now, and he's available. Ryan Duncan's available. So there's a lot of players that to choose from. It's then trying to find that combination where it is going to work. And I think, you know, as I said earlier on, somebody like Jordan Brown sitting on the bench there, he could be chuck him in, see what happens. Get Jack Brown in for a start as well, just see what happens.
Yeah, I think the team's a bit nice stale, but you can almost, if you've got a fit team, you can almost predict fit teams got to be put out there with the same players that are on the bench. And I just wonder if the feeling amongst the team is, well, what's really the point, because I'm going to be sitting on the bench anyway. I'm not saying that it is, but you know, there are certain players that are always on the bench, and you think, well, they never really get game time, or they get a cameo 5 minutes, or they get a last 10 minutes here and there. And I know you're saying all of our ways moving in the right time. I don't think there's ever a game to look at and go, now's the time.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, it was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, because then you had about 6 or 7 weeks after Christmas where things just weren't working. I think we're now at the point of it's too late to change it, because I think it's got to make that much of a difference. I think we've missed that window. But, you know, I certainly think there needs to be something, because at the moment, performances are sort of so-so. They're not great, they're not bad, but we're not really doing nothing in an attacking sense, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's okay having, you know, to say that we're, you know, better team second half or a better team first half or whatever. But if the results aren't there, you have to kind of look at it and say, okay, well, where do I change it? And maybe just be brave enough to make the changes, or say, you know, we're not going to play 4-3-3, we're going to play 4-4-2, we're going to play 4-2-3-1 or something like that. Just try something different.
But I don't mind the comments of, you know, we're playing well, we're just not getting the breaks for a couple of weeks. But then you've got to think, well, why are we not getting the breaks? Is there something that we're not doing? Is there something we could be doing better? Reviewing the game and thinking, right, that's what we've did okay there, but we could have done better. Because at the moment, it just seems that the interviews are, yeah, we're doing well, we're getting there, but we're now nearly at the end of the season. You know, we've commented many times, you know, out with recording, that I'd rather take a poor performance for 90 minutes and win 2-0 than I would hearing the same thing coming to the club, we're playing well, we're just not getting the breaks. Something needs to change.
Okay, on that note then, we will end it there for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Wells, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.